Well, thanks, Terry. I was asking about Wally. Where's Wally? Anybody know where if Wally's okay? What?
Taking care of wife.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. It's French spam. Well, thank you. And I like American spam. Let's try some French spam. Well, how about that? Yeah. There's just nothing like spam, folks. Spam with mustard and probably maybe a few baked beans, but red onion. And you can just sit there and have a spam orgy. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forget sometimes I'm on the air. One thing I do not want to forget, and that is Veterans Day is tomorrow. So I want to recognize, am I coming through? Is this, I can't hear myself, but okay, good. We're good. I want to recognize the veterans here this morning. And I would like for you to stand just for a moment because it's important. So how many veterans do we have? If you're visiting, you're a veteran, please stand. How many veterans? Right here? Right here? Right here? All right. Thank you so much. The Marine Corps birthday is today. We don't want to forget that. Absolutely. All right. So I appreciate it. Veterans. We got Marine Corps. What? Navy. Yeah. And Air Force. Army. Got them all covered here today. All right. We sure do. I can't thank you enough for your service, for what it means, and that you're willing to go that route and do what a lot of others haven't done or just won't do. But to all of you, God bless you for what you've been through, what you've done. I want to say something else to you. Now, God bless you for enduring. You've put up with having to see the military that you love and believe in and served in hit so hard. But it's going to be okay, promise you. We'll be strong again. And we really will. And you've had to watch the things that you served for, that you stood against, happening in this our own country. But listen, we'll be looking at some of this today, but don't forget, greater is God, Christ, in you than he that's in the world. And he has the victory, and you just keep holding on. We've been through some tough times before, but I believe certainly that better times are coming. And we'll see a stronger country and we'll see a stronger military. I've been so hurt to see the junk that's been going on in the military. It's not the soldiers' fault. It's not the airmen's fault. It's not the sailors' fault. Not the Marines' fault. It's the fault of the officials who order this kind of thing. Our military has been far too involved in making sure all these young people coming in are taught how to be woke rather than how to be soldiers, sailors, airmen. And so now here we are. I'm not on a soapbox at this. It's a fact. And friends I still have out there, folks still connected to the military, have told me some horror stories, and it's like, I can't take this. It's got to change. And there's something else, too. I know that I've had moms, especially moms, say to me, I don't want them being rough on my boy or my daughter. My response to that is, if they're not rough now and something happens, they won't live long enough to know what rough is. So you train them hard now, and I'll tell you something else. When you train hard and you put it on that uniform, there's a pride and a dignity that goes with it. Because you put that on and you know you've been there, done that. You know that you're just somebody different than the average person. And that's what we want to instill again. And anyway, there it is. So let's talk about Christian soldiers now. Moving over into 1 John. And I titled this, just let God fulfill His will. Let Him fulfill His will in our personal lives. We want Him to fulfill His will in the country. And we want Him to fulfill His will in our society and in our church. We want Him to fulfill His will with the military, with everything, and in government. But what about fulfilling His will in each of our personal lives? What do we need to do ourselves? A lot of Christians, I mentioned before with election, so many Christians say, well, God has a plan, and I don't have to do anything. He'll just work it out. Really. God has a plan, and there's many things God will do for us, but there's also things He wants us to do to prepare to receive the blessing, to be a part of it. And I want to ask you something. It's been on my mind. And I asked this to the all those listening. It's this. If it's true that God has a plan and He's going to work it out no matter what, then why did Jesus say to us, go into all the world and make disciples if He's just God's going to do it Himself? He told us to do that. He does the soul winning. He changes the heart. But He said, you go out in there and be the influencer. You take on my word. So He said, go into the world and make disciples, teaching them everything I've taught you. Baptize them, name the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. But what did He say? You get out there and mix it up. Teach them my word. And when they accept me as their Savior and Lord, you know, teach them, and baptize them, name the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That's on our part. And there's a lot of things in Scripture that, no, we're not saved by works, but works come after we're saved. And we have to get with the program and be a part of it and be involved. We're soldiers of the cross. We're soldiers of the cross, and we put on a uniform. It's the uniform of holiness, and we're marked for the day of salvation. The mark of Christ is upon us. We don't even know what we're going to look like, but it says we're going to look like Him, whatever that is. You know, as I get older, I'm thinking anything's better than what I'm leading towards, so, you know, I'm glad to look like Him. I won't say too much, but it was off somewhere. But I feel so sorry for a lady I didn't know what to do. And she was an attractive lady, but not attractive. And I'll tell you why. And if you've done this, I'm not knocking you anything, but I could tell she'd had injections because she couldn't smile. I didn't mean that to be funny, but I guess it is. But I was trying to make her laugh. You know, I go out and I try to, and she, and I thought, oh, quit, Tony. She could really, her mouth's frozen. Everything I'm saying is probably coming out wrong, but I thought, one day we're not going to have to worry about all that stuff. Be given a new body. In the meantime, think real hard before you freeze your mouth. Because, well, I know maybe some of you are praying that your partner might have that done, and you know. But anyway, you want to be able to smile even if there's wrinkles. It's part of life, and you know, don't worry so much about it. You know what God's worried about? It's not this. We're so caught up in that society's standard and its model. What God says to be caught up with is inside. Are you warm, loving, genuine Christian, a human being inside? You know that'll come through. It takes away more wrinkles than you possibly imagine, and your mouth won't freeze up. And have you ever talked to someone who had something like that, and you could tell that they couldn't move their face, and you don't know what to do? I was just totally, and finally I just had to excuse myself, and then I think these things, you know, but they were serious, and you'll probably laugh, but I thought, how does she eat? Can't you just see someone like that trying to pull through a straw? Blah, 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 blah. And that's my mind. I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm saying, friends, look, I'm not putting anybody down for that. If you've done that, if you want to do that, that's your thing. But don't freeze yourself up. But the point is, think before you do that kind of stuff, because really, and I say this, and I'm not attacking anybody, but once in a while, not often anymore, once in a while, somebody mentions something. Do you think this one I've been asked more than once, I mean several times. Is it against God's word to have a tattoo? Boy, that's tough. In the Old Testament, God said, don't do it. He said, don't put any marks on your body. Your body is strictly mine. Jesus didn't mention one way or another. All I will tell you is this. Our body is the temple of living God, temple of the Holy Spirit. And you ask God about it and do what you... I can't tell you what to do, and I won't. And so I bring up these things. They're controversial, and yet I'm asked these controversial things. I'd rather speak to them here than be caught out there. Did Jesus say anything that you could? No. I don't think they talked too much about those tats in his day. But people did mark their bodies, and our bodies are his temple. So just approach it from that. How many? I've been asked how many can I have? Like, I'm supposed to know? I don't know. And my response often is to younger people, how many is it okay to have? Well, I wouldn't get so many, I can't see your skin anymore. And I'd like to see you're human and not a robot, but, you know, that's okay. But just remember, what's his name, old Foxworthy? Yeah, Jeff, remember what he said? Just keep in mind. He said, that hummingbird that you get on your shoulder today, one day your grandkids will run screaming in there saying something's wrong with grandma. She's got a buzzard hanging on her back. Things change. But so let's go. Let's move on. So let God fulfill his will. Is it God's will if you get one or don't? Ask him. Ask him, not me, not somebody else. Don't go to people for things like that. Go to God. You want his will? Talk to God about it. The church doesn't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, and I don't try to have all the answers. And I'll tell you when I don't, and I'll be honest with you. But today we're going to get some answers here on some of the things that God says, here's what I want you to do, and fulfill in my will. So we're going to read in 1 John chapter 4. Familiar passages, I'm quite sure. We're going to begin with verse 4, New International Version. I hope I brought the New International Version, come to think of it. All right. You, dear children, are from God. You know this passage, right? I quoted it earlier when I was praying. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. To them who? People don't know Christ. Well, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we? The world listens to those that don't know Christ because they don't know Christ. We are from God. Hear this. We are from God. That's why we're here. We're from God through Jesus Christ. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how that we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, what does he say? This is a little bit lengthy, but it's important. Dear friends, here's what he says. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. There's just no option. You can't, you just can't find any way to not love someone. I mean, you can say they don't look right, their mouth's frozen, their heart's frozen. They're a Christian. So you got to love them. Even if they talk weird, make weird jokes, whatever it is. He said, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And it's not all he says. He says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. He said, so if you see someone that really loves other people, you know they're from God, because a person of this world is not going to love like that. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So there it is. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He said, you want to know what love is? People all the time, you've heard it. Try to answer this question, and somebody says, well, just what is love? I mean, what is it? What can you describe it? Well, he describes it here. He says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. He said, you want to know what love is? This is love. God sends his son, Jesus Christ, to die for people who don't love him back. He said, that's love. You want to know the definition? It's giving yourself for someone else who doesn't give a rip about you. And the future prospects and the faith and hope that they will accept you because of what you've done. And that's exactly what Jesus did on that cross. He died for people. I mean, there's a handful compared to the population who cared about him. But the rest, they didn't give a rip. They wanted rid of him. And yet, through him doing that, for people who didn't care, didn't give a rip, could care less, look how many are saved today. Look how many were saved back then. Because of his willingness to give himself for those who could care less. So from now on, you know the definition. It's the willingness to give yourself for others who could care less if you do or not. Now, does this apply to your marriage? Does this apply to kids? Does it apply to relatives? Apply to people you know and work with? Yes, it does. They pick on you. They slander. They slander each other. They use foul language. And yet, what is God saying? You love them anyway. You keep loving. You don't have to love what people do. Jesus never said to do that. It'd be wrong if you did, but you love them. You love God's people. Listen, God's people act weird sometimes. Has anybody in here ever been around weird acting Christians? You just can't figure them out. You're pretty sure they're saved. By their fruits, you'll know them. But at the same time, it's like they're just so weird. I can't even hang around them. But what does God say? Love them anyway. There's Christians who just eat weird. You ever been around those? They're just weird. They eat weird. You know, it's like, what does that mean? I don't know. They just eat weird. When they're supposed to use a fork, they use a spoon. When they should use a little knife, they use their fingers. And you're just going, oh. And you ever seen, and I'm sorry, ladies, but you've known some weird Christian guys, right? Do you know what jeans are for a guy to wipe their hands on? Wet, greasy, stained, that's what jeans are for.
Yes.
Okay, yes, thank you, okay. You testify to that, okay. And so we just act weird. We do. I catch myself and I know better. And I'll still do it. I'll do something. I'll be eating a sandwich. There's something on my hand. And there you go, right to the jeans. So if I ever come in here and you're noticing there's a stain on his, it's like Willie ate something on the way to church and you know where it went. So Christians, we just do weird things. We say weird things. We have all these different personalities and hang-ups. And by the way, we have stuff from our past that still affect our present. God's working on that with all of us. But he's saying, Jesus died for all these weird people. We're all weird. I'm weird. I do weird things. When I mentioned that spam wall ago, some of you had to be thinking, he's weird. How many of you right now are thinking that's really weird to eat spam? Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. You're not alone. Cerebral razor. Yeah. How many of you like sweet pickles? Oh, yeah, me too. Dill pickles? Okay. Sour pickles? Me too. I'll eat them all, but I especially like sweet pickles. Good old sweet pickles. I like to cut them up in tuna fish. I can't stand tuna casserole, but I love tuna salad. Isn't that weird? Thank you. Okay, I get applause on that one. Now, let me finish this so we can finish this message. So this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. The whole point here, I'm not rambling or trying to, is to point out God died in the form of Jesus for weird people, for unloving people, for strange acting people. Didn't matter to him. Look at his disciples. If you were with them today, would you think some of them were strange? You sure would. You would really wonder. But look at us. Would they think we're strange? Oh, Yes. So he died and he sent his son, atoning sacrifice. And dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Look at this. We've never seen him. But if we love one another, then God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in Christ and in God and he in us. What does he do? He's given us of his spirit, and we have seen and testified the Father sent his son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, here it is. If anyone acknowledges Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We're almost through. Here it is. God is love. God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, get this, it says it plainly, in this world we are like Jesus. We're not Jesus, but we're like him. And that's why he said go into all the world. He has a plan, and that plan is for you and me to be conformed to him, his image, through prayer, through his word. Through the willingness to give up ourselves, deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him and become Christ-like, be like him so people can see Christ in us. He's our hope of glory. So let me grab this real quick, and you won't be here all day, I promise. There was more, and try to get through this introduction and this part than actually in the rest of it. So let me just give you some quick points. First, you know, let God fulfill his will. Here's the first point. To do that, let God give you real love. You say, what? Let him. Let him. Why do we resist God giving us love? You know why? Do you know why you resist God giving you love? You say, well, I'm not resisting him. I'm glad. But for many people, if they'll open up their hearts and look at themselves, open their minds, they're resisting God's love. Why? Because you're mad at somebody. You've been hurt somewhere. Somebody stepped on you really hard. And if you open your heart to accept God's love, you're going to have to love them, which means you're going to have to forgive them, and you don't want to do it. And this isn't meant to condemn. It's just to show us why we resist. If I let Jesus Christ have control of my life, my body, then he'll want me to stop drinking so much or smoking this or doing that. He'll want me to stop cussing so much, using four-letter words. And yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. And you know he will. Because he wants you to live a spirit-filled, long, happy, prosperous life, and that means he wants you healthy. And because of that, we hang on to these things. But mostly we hang on to hurts, and we hang on to unforgiveness, and we hang on deep down for the desire for vengeance, revenge. We want to get vengeance on somebody. We're praying for the day that they get theirs, aren't we? And if we let the love of Jesus Christ flow into our hearts, if we let it, we already know, because we know enough of the word to know, yeah, and then he's going to make me love that person, and I hate him. I want to hate him. I've lived my life hating him. I can't forgive them for what they did to me. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. No, you can't. And don't let anybody tell you that you can. You can't forgive someone who's really hurt you. You know how that happens? Jesus Christ through you forgives them. He gives you the strength. He gives you the power. Submit it to him. Tell him, I can't let go of this. I can't face that person or persons. I can't forgive them. And he'll and really accept it. We're human. No, you can't, but Jesus Christ can. And if you submit yourself to him, Christ in you will reach out and he will transform your heart, and through his power in you, forgiveness will flow. But you can't do it. There's people in my own life that the only way that I could forgive them is for Jesus Christ to overcome. My sister and I have talked a lot about this stuff and stuff that happened to us as kids. And all of you know, and so I won't go back in the story, when my dad passed away, the people that owned the home we lived in threw us out in 2 weeks. I took years to forgive that person for doing that. They were very wealthy. They didn't need that house. It was just a little old house. And it was for people who worked the ranch and the farm, did the farm work. And Dad was, you know, he ran all the farm work and stuff. And so we got a house. And we had a sick mom and nowhere to go. And you throw us out. We had no place to go. Do you know it took me? I saw my sister saying, she said, I still have some problems with that. I said, yeah, it's taken me a lot of years to get over that. We were just out there, and I lived in the dorm at Dallas Baptist College because I didn't have a home. And they let me stay there in the summer. Just they worked, they told me, just, we know what's your deal here. Just live here in your room. Wasn't that neat of them? There's Christianity in action. There's love in action. And so that was my little temporary home. I had no place to go. You think that's hard to forgive? What about somebody that's done something to you, stepped out of a marriage and betrayed you? What, you can't forgive them for that. Jesus can. But if you open your heart, he'll do it. I promise you he'll do it. And so what this is all about is saying, let God love you. Let God have these things. Let him have control. Are you hurt over a husband, a wife? Are you hurt over your children? You have to raise your hand, but is anybody in here hurt because of your kids doing, they're grown up, but they're still your kids, but they, oh, they, it's like, will they ever get past dumb? they just break your heart, you know? It's just like, wow. And sometimes you just want to tell people that that's not my kid. I just took them on and raised them, but I don't know, they belong to somebody else. Good. Like that, do you? You ever felt that way over there at the table? I guess so. You got to let God just make your love real. Listen, you know what real love for God is? You want to turn this love? You want, if people ask you, what's real love for God? It's hating evil. You want to love God back? Hate evil. Don't vote for evil. Don't protect evil. Don't cover up for evil. Even if you've got Christian friends and they're doing something evil, sinfully evil, why are you going to stand there and just tolerate it instead of saying something? You don't have to send them to hell. You simply just confront it. Loving God means I stand against evil. I seek what God says is righteous and good. I get rid of the little gods in my life. You want to love God? Get rid of your little gods. What little gods do we have? How many of you have a little god of jealousy? Insecurity. Anger. Greed. Temper. Status. Is it important to you that people look up to you? Think you're important? Is it money? Or is it just self? You're just self-protective. It's about you. It's hard to be honest about that and say, it's about me. Hey, look at some people. Look around you. Watch some of these so-called celebrities and politicians and so forth. Well, it's all about them. Everything about them. Heck, let's bring it to the church. How many pastors can you see on TV that's all about them? Little gods. If you want to love God, then put these little gods before him. Do you personalize everything? Every joke, everything, it's about you. They meant that towards me. Be honest with yourself. Do you kind of get your feelings up here? Right on your shoulder? And somebody makes a joke and it's like, that was about me. They directed that towards me. Somebody makes some comment out there. You know, they make something, just say something weird. It's like, you know, I don't understand redheaded people. You're not even a redhead, and you're going, that was towards me. We do it, don't we? And I've always used this one, and you come into church or wherever it is, and a couple of people over there are talking, and they just happen to be looking your way. Oh, good God, they're talking about me. I'm not going back there. Those people just talk about me when I go there. They were talking about their dog and what kind of dog food to feed it. They were looking out the window. Hey, do you see that bird over there? Oh, what is that? But no, it's about me. They're talking bad about me. Be honest. How many of you have ever done that? You just assumed they were down. Go ahead and be honest. Yeah, you haven't done that, have you? No? Okay. You have? Okay. We all have from one time or another. We just personalize stuff. You ever watch a movie and just think, that's about me? That's me. It's like, did somebody send in your life? Is that what you're saying? Look, we do it all the time. You know what's about you? You want to know what's really about you? Jesus. He's all about you. And He wants you to be all about Him. Loving God means you accept the fact that people don't think like you do, and you just love them anyway. They don't act like you think they'll act. I've had people tell me, Tony, stop eating fried catfish and stuff with your fingers. Use a fork. No. Thank you. We'll eat together someday, the fried catfish. You know, but I've because I'm a pastor, I understand this. And they want me to have the best of manners and be everything. But there's something about picking up a crispy fried piece, a piece of fried catfish, and stirring around either in that, what's that white stuff that, or ketchup. God forbid, but ketchup. Yeah, oh, there you go. Oh, we're going to eat catfish. We're coming soon. And just eating it with your fingers. But I've had people, and I'm not knocking it, and I understand. And they're saying, Pastor, don't you use a fork? And I'm thinking, they eat catfish? You use a fork to eat catfish? You know, and don't you cut your french fries in half instead of taking that long french fry and or folding it in half? You ever think about the things we do? But I've seen others sit and cut them with a fork. That's fine, but they want me to do it. And it's like, I'm not going to sit and cut my french fries with a fork. But to be polite, I'll at least fold the french fries up and instead of take it like a noodle. Did you know french fries taste better if you just eat it from one end to the other? Yeah, see, it's got a better... Yeah, there you go. It's accepting the fact that people, they're just not going to be like you, and they might try to make you be like them. And what do? You politely just go on. You love them anyway, because they're going to be... They'll want you to eat french fries with a fork and cut your catfish with a fork. It ruins the catfish. Just so you know. Your relationship with God is a marriage relationship. It's a relationship of love and trust and honor. God bestows love on you and trust on you, and He gives you honor to be His child, to inherit His kingdom, to have all the authority of His Son, Jesus Christ, available to you. And real love just overlooks faults. It says, whatever, I love them anyway. Husbands and wives, good friends, do each other a favor and quit picking on each other. Just let the faults go. Everybody you know is going to do things that can irritate you if you let it. Let the love of Christ conquer all that. Don't be so upset all the time. People leave dirty clothes on the floor. Oh, there's one broken up about that already back there. You thought that was a baby and that was mom. We just do weird things, don't we? We're just that way. So let me move on. Secondly, let God make you just a real blessing. Let God make you a real blessing. When you get out here and you're loving people, be a blessing to them. Say something nice to them. Compliment them. Find something. Ask the waitress or waiter, are you from around here? And they'll ask you most every time, well, yeah, or why'd you ask? And it's like, oh, I noticed this, or your accent's a little bit different. Where are you from? And they'll just stand there telling their life history. You noticed them. That's why. See, you paid attention. You didn't look at them as just a servant to bring you something or take it away. You noticed them. You made them a human. You loved them. You were a blessing to them. Being a blessing means I just give without qualifying the gift. You say, what? I give whatever it is God puts on my heart to live, give out of love. and I don't qualify it. What do you mean? I don't decide if you deserve it, if you've earned it today, if you've been good or bad. I just do what God says to do and leave the rest up to Him. God may ask you to make some cookies, send a cake, or do all kinds of things for someone that you're just going, what? And it's like, that's His business. Your business is to just give a blessing. Because through the blessing, He's wanting to save those people. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. And bless when you want to curse. And let God worry about the details. Everybody with me? Hearing what the Lord's saying? Then let's close with this. You're going to have to let God make you His very own. Let God make you His very own. What does that mean? Let Him make you His very own vessel of goodness and righteousness. You can extend that if you want. But let God make me His very own, yeah, of righteousness and good. Let God put you in a place where you can be the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Where you can say, oh, come on, whoa, whoa, let's work this out. Where you can step in and solve and let God use you to solve the problem. Listen, good defeats evil. Good overcomes anger. Good builds you a great reputation so people can look at you, come to you, seek advice, and they won't realize for a while that Jesus Christ has given you the wisdom and the advice to give them. I trust in that. Ask God for it all the time. Before I go counsel with someone, I ask God these things. Please give me wisdom. Give me a discerning spirit. And God, give me courage and boldness to speak the truth, but humility. Humility to give you the praise and honor and glory and do all this for your praise and honor and glory. I don't want to do it out of the flesh. I don't ever want to counsel somebody out of the flesh. All right. Here it is. When you tie all this together, it comes out to this question. Do you want to be defended? Defend others. Love defends others. You want others to speak well of you? Speak well of them. You want love? Give love first. You want forgiveness? Give forgiveness. You want respect? Give respect. You want friendship? Give friendship. What does that proverb say? To him who would have friends must be what? And first themselves, first be friendly. You want acceptance? Give acceptance. You want attention? Give attention. You want money? This one will knock you over, but you know what's going to be said. If you want money, give money. You want understanding? Give understanding. Experience Jesus that way. Let others experience Jesus with you this way. And remember what Jesus said, tying all this up. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So love them. Be a blessing to them. Be in God's will. And do what God wants you to do. And I guarantee you, this will happen. And it'll be fulfilled. Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. And give. And it will be given to you. Press down. Running over without measure when you just do what God wills. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the power of it, the grace and forgiveness. We thank You for the beauty of just hearing Your word, how precious Your love is. God, make us a blessing that we just give of ourselves to You. We give to others. We don't retreat. We don't back up from the enemy. But at the same time, we overlook faults and flares and all the weirdness of people, and just we're just here to love and be a blessing, to do the goodness and righteousness that God's called us to do. And so, Lord, help us to do unto others just like we would want them to do to us. As we go from this place, let us not forget, but keep in mind, our God is in control, and greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. Victory is ours. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you, each and every one, for being here.